on that day, being very much inspired
by the desire to hunt,
he took up his bow and arrow
with great pride,
and went to the forest,
not caring for his wife.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. One form of hunting is known as woman hunting. A conditioned soul is never satisfied with one wife. Those whose senses are very much uncontrolled, especially for to hunt for many women, King Puranjana's abandoning the company of his religiously married wife is representative of the conditioned soul's attempt to hunt for many women for sense gratification. Wherever a king goes, he is supposed to be accompanied by his queen. But when the king or conditioned soul becomes greatly overpowered by the desire for sense gratification, he does not care for religious principles. Instead, with great pride, he accepts the bow and arrow of attachment and hatred. Our consciousness is always working in two ways, the right way and the wrong way. When one becomes too proud of his position, influenced by the mode of passion, he gives up the right path and accepts the wrong one. Kshatriya kings are sometimes advised to go to the forest to hunt ferocious animals just to learn how to kill. But such forays are never meant for sense gratification. Killing animal to eat their flesh is forbidden for human beings. Om Ajnana Timiranthasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Udmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Swapadantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivashati Gaur Bhaktavinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Hare Chachara Mrigayam Tatra Dripto Atteshu Karmukaha Vihaya Jayam Atad Arham Mriga Vyasana Lalasaha. It was almost impossible for King Puranjana to give up the company of his queen even for a moment. Nonetheless, on that day, being very much inspired by the desire to hunt, he took up his bow and arrow with great pride and went to the forest, not caring for his life, not caring for his wife. So, these last few chapters are actually, this first described the glorious activities of Prithu Maharaj and how Prithu Maharaj went back to Godhead. And then started the description of Prithu Maharaj's descendants. Prithu Maharaj's eldest son was Vijitashvara. The name Vijitashvara is actually very significant. Vijita and Vijita, it's a combination of two words. Vijita and Ashva. Ashva means a horse and Vijita means conqueror. Prithu Maharaj was performing a horse sacrifice. He performed 99 horse sacrifices. And the 100th horse sacrifice, when it was being performed, then Indra stole the horse. Indra was afraid that Prithu Maharaj may take over his position. That shows how attached Indra is. And sometimes how the demigods fail to recognize the position of a very, very exalted devotee or an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of God. In Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes, Indra made the same mistake. And here also Prithu Maharaj, he was making the same mistake. He thought that Prithu Maharaj is an ordinary living entity trying to take over his heavenly planet. But he didn't realize that Prithu Maharaj is a very, very exalted personality. He is an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are six kinds of incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and one is Shaktavesh Avatar. And Prithu Maharaj is a Shaktavesh, empowered incarnation of the Lord. And Prithu Maharaj has performed so many wonderful activities. So Prithu Maharaj is not interested in the position of Indra. What to speak of Prithu Maharaj? Even a devotee of Krishna doesn't care for the position of Indra in the heavenly planet. It has been described as Kaivalya Narakayate, Tridasha Pura Akasha Pushpayate. So position of Tridasha Pura, the heavenly planets, is to a devotee is simply a phantasmagoria. Then no, it's all illusory. There may be some apparent enjoyment in the heavenly planets, but they don't mean anything. Even if in a dream you become a king, does it have any value? So similarly, material nature to a devotee, the existence in the material nature is like a dream. So in the dream, if you become an Indra or Chandra or Varuna or even Brahma, what's the big deal against? Not only position of Indra, a devotee considers Kaivalya, liberation, Kaivalya, Narakayate, like going to hell. To a devotee, liberation is like hell. So what to speak of enjoyment in heavenly planet? One attains liberation when one completely gives up any desire to have anything to do in this material world. Then only he aspires for liberation. But that liberation, Kaivalya, to a devotee is like Narakaya. Narak means hell. Narakayata means going to hell. Anyway, so Indra is Indra, the conditioned soul, poor guy. So he stole the horse of Prithumara. And Prithumara, his eldest son, went after Indra and snatched the horse away from him, and he could have killed him, but he spared him. The poor guy, why should I unnecessarily kill him? So, we can see how the Vedic names are so significant. He conquered the horse that was taken away by Indra. Or conquered the horse from Indra, which was stolen by Indra. So his name is Vijitashya. So this way we can see that these names are given according to the quality of the person that would be displayed later on. His name was given at the time of his birth, right after his birth. But they could see that this is what he would do, and therefore he got a name like that, Vijitashya. He had another name, Antarthana. So Prithu Maharaj's son is Vijitashya or Antarthana. Antarthana's son was Havirdhana, and Havirdhana's son was Barhishat. And this Barhishat had 10 sons. They are known as the Prachetas. So, where the Prachitas were ordered by their father to get married and enter into household life, they immediately went to perform austerities under the water. And in course of in their travel, they came across Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva taught them how to pray to the Supreme Personality of God. And according to Lord Shiva's instructions, they performed austerities for 10,000 years, chanting the name, chanting the mantra that Lord Shiva taught them. And now in the meantime, Narad Muni saw that the sons are becoming such wonderful devotees of the Lord, but look at the father. He is simply engrossed in his sense gratification. Not in a crude way, but in a subtle way. He was very much involved in performing. He is very much involved in performing austerity. No, I'm sorry, sacrifice, according to the karma conversation. And Prabhupada mentioned how he was performing sacrifices, that he would complete one sacrifice here, and right after that place he would start another sacrifice. So in this way he was just performing one after another sacrifice all over the world. But for what? These sacrifices are meant for sense gratification. Performance of sacrifice according to the Karmakanda section of the Vedas is simply for sense gratification. So Narad Muni felt that sons have become so advanced that the father is still caught up in his mundane activities, Karmakanda activities of the Vedas, which are actually meant for sense gratification. So Narad Muni appeared to King Prachinavardhana, the father of the Prachitas, and great grandson of Prithumana. So Narad Muni straight away told him, these activities you are performing, useless, is not going to benefit you. In the material nature, everyone tries to finish off his suffering condition and have a joyful state of existence. In the material nature, everyone wants to finish his suffering condition and be happy. But Narad Muni told him that by performing these Vedic sacrifices, Karmakanda sacrifices, you'll never be able to mitigate your suffering condition and have a real enjoyment in this world. And in that respect, Narad Muni started to relate one story to him. He told him about a king. His name was Puranjan. And Puranjan was trying to enjoy. In various ways, he was traveling around in search of enjoyment. Then finally he comes to a very beautiful land of the southern part of the Himalayan mountain. And the name of that land is Bharatvarsha. And there he saw a very beautiful city with 9 gates. And he was very attracted to the city. The city was beautiful, beautifully built, had 9 gates, and had beautiful lakes surrounded by beautiful garden. And there he came across an exquisitely beautiful woman. And he immediately fell in love with her. She was so beautiful. And this woman happened to be the queen of that city of 9 gates. And she was surrounded by 10 attendants, and each of those 10 servants had hundreds of wives. And she was being protected by a snake with 5 hoods. And this woman also was very much attracted by Puranjan. And then they got married. Puranjan became the king of the city of 9 kings. Now this was actually an allegorical story. Allegorical story means through this story some important message was to be conveyed. The story was meant to convey some message. What was the message that Narad Muni was conveying to King Prachina Varhisha? What is, who is Puranjan? Puranjan is a living entity. Living entity in this material nature, what does he want? He wants to enjoy. And that's why he is traveling in so many different places throughout the universe. Sometimes in heavenly planets, sometimes in lower planets. Sometimes he is enjoying, sometimes he is suffering. In this way, he is traveling, riding on a body given by the material nature. Jantra Ruhani Maya. But then he gets an opportunity, then he comes across this beautiful piece, beautiful place. The place in the southern part of Himalayan mountain, known as Bharatvarsha. And in Bharatvarsha he comes across a city of 9 gates. What is the city of 9 gates? The human body. The human body has 9 gates. Those 9 gates are 2 eyes, 2 ears, 2 nostrils, mouth, anus and genitals. So these are the 9 gateways. So Puranjan came across this. That means he got a human form of life in the land of Bharatvarsha. So this is why again, we are coming back to that point. To get a human body in the land of India is very special. So Puranjan got this human body in the land of India. And who is the queen? The queen is the intelligence. Who are the 10 servants of the queen? The 10 senses. 5 knowledge-acquiring senses and 5 working senses. And then the queen is protected by a snake with 5 hoods. What is the snake with 5 hoods? The 5 kinds of airs. Pran, Apan, Shaman, Dhan and Udan. That makes the functioning of the human body possible due to these 5 kinds of airs. Pancha Vayu. So in this way Narada Muni advised King Prachina Varhi about the story of Puranjan. At the end, it will be there. So Puranjan, now he is described. How is Puranjan trying to cheat his wife? Like he goes to forest to hunt. Prabhupada is pointing out, what kind of hunting is that? That is woman hunting. A man is not satisfied with one wife. Conditioned so. He thinks that wife is meant for sense gratification. Therefore, he always runs after newer and newer possibilities of sense gratification. But the purpose of getting married is not just to have sense gratification. The purpose of getting married is to become properly situated on the path of dharma. So that happens only when one comes to Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, in the material nature, that is what is going on. One gets married thinking that he will be happy, but then he realizes, no, she is not giving him happiness. Then he thinks he made a mistake marrying her. So he thinks if he gets some other woman, he will feel happy. Like as I told you, the mirage, running after mirage. You see a mirage and you think that there is a there's the water. A traveler in the middle of a desert becomes thirsty. He wants water. But is it possible to get water in the desert? What do you get in the desert? It's hot sand. And sometimes this hot sand gives the impression of water. You see, it appears like a mirage. What actually happened? How many of you studied physics, light? Huh? What is the cause of mirage? Reflection. The thin air causes the light rays to reflect, bend. And then it reaches the optimum point when it cannot bend anymore. Then what happens? It goes to the other direction. And as a result of that, what you see? You see the tree upside down. You're seeing the tree, you're seeing the real tree, and you're seeing the other tree which is upside down. And upside down means it gives the impression that there is water and the reflection of the tree in the water. But is the reflection on water or the reflection on fire? Hot sand is not water. Hot sand is fire. So running after fire, can you ever quench your thirst? So similarly, our endeavor to enjoy the material nature is something like running after a mirage. It's never going to quench our thirst. But because we are in illusion, because we are in ignorance, we keep running, we keep running, we keep running, thinking, well, we'll get it, it'll happen. Another 5 minutes, I'll reach it. Then I'll quench my thirst. And one after another, it just keeps on taking us away. A man thinks that, oh, she's such a beautiful girl, I must get her. And he marries her. But then he sees that what he wanted, he can't get through her. Then he thinks maybe some other girl. Not only a woman, with everything. He thinks, oh, if I get this house, I'll be so happy. He buys the house. Then does he become happy? Maybe for 5 minutes. But then he becomes miserable. Especially when the roof starts to leak. And especially when the bills come for the tax from the tax department. Then he thinks, this house is not good enough, let me get another house. If he can afford it, he gets another house. He still is unhappy. He tries another house, still he is unhappy. Running after the mirage. So this is how all our endeavor in the material nature to enjoy will end in an acute frustration. So, that is what Narad Muni is trying to point out to King Prachinpur. That after he narrated the whole story, Prachinamari wanted to know what it is all about that you are talking about. And then Narada Muni explained to him how Puranjana is the spirit soul, the queen is the intelligence, the city of Nine Gate is the human body, and the snake is the five-hooded snake is the five kinds of airs. And then there will be, later on you will see how the story develops. The city of Puranjana is attacked by Chandavega. And then Kalakanya embraces Puranjana. Kalakanya, the daughter of time. And when daughter of time embraced Puranjana, Puranjana lost all his strength. What is the daughter of time? What embrace of daughter of time? Old age. Now she embraces you, very nice. So the result is You lose all your vitality, you become old. You don't even have the strength to stand up. And then Jamraj's soldiers come and drag Puranjan out of that city of Nayaka. Takes him to Jamalaya for judgment. But then Puranjana comes across his friend whom Puranjan forgot. Who is that friend? That friend is Vaishnav Thakur. And Vaishnav Thakur reminds Puranjan about how his actual business is to surrender to the Supreme Personality of God. Isn't it a wonderful story? What did you learn from this story? What are you going to do? Run after the mirage? How many of you want to run after the mirage? Raise both your hands. And how many of you want to surrender yourselves to the Supreme Personality of God? Those who really want to surrender, please raise both of your hands and say, Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
Hare
Krishna, Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna,
Hare Hare,
Hare Hare,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama,
Rama Rama,
Rama Rama,
Hare Hare,
Hare Hare,
Srila Prabhupada ki, Hare Krishna Mahamantra ki, Granthalaya Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gaur Premanande. Does anybody have any question? Yes, Srivatsapur.
First, I'd like to offer my relationship to your Bhagavad Gita. I have three different relationships. I'm really, really passionate. If you, in your past association, I'm really, whenever I see your darshan, I feel pain in my heart. I'm very much happy. And very much, I remember the day, and I talked with your son, how many journey opportunity to serve, and I will see your mercy. I feel I'm very, very fortunate.
Thank you.
Gosri Maharaj, again I was in my life, I can get opportunity again, but I wish now is not possible.
No. Thank you so much. I also was remembering how you used to take care of me when I used to come here those days. I was telling Vedanta Chaitanya Prabhu. Those days you used to take care of me so nicely. And we used to have such a wonderful time.
I'm very appreciating your passion and quality which you have received from Srila Prabhupada. And I can understand, everyone can understand how much Srila Prabhupada was empowered by Krishna, and he has been given you all the power to you. In this Maharaj, your transcendental quality, I feel always, I attended your class in that year as well. You are very much indeed. So many devotees, thousands, thousands are devoted. But you still, you recognize me. And I stand back from that to that. I send my offering to the events. And next day I receive Maharaj for the response. And really much.
Thank you. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada. Yes, there's a question there. Any other? That or that? To pass the mic to him.
Krishna. But I can see I'm not qualified respect, because first I need to my personal quality. So it takes so much understanding, it takes so much time. So how is it possible to spread Krishna consciousness? To get inside
Is it a matter of time or qualification?
Which one?
To get qualification, I think it's so much time.
In order for it? So Krishna gave you 24 hours a day. So get some time out of it. He gave you 24 hours. So take out another 2-3 hours out of that. Just take out about 2-3 hours, chant 16 rounds, read Prabhupada's books, associate with devotees. Yes, you'll become qualified. Actually, Krishna wants everyone to become qualified. And Krishna will help Prabhupada in that. So, it's a matter of time management. Manage your time in such a way that you can utilize it for the real purpose. Tell me, what is more important than becoming a devotee of Krishna? Is there anything more important than that? So if you realize this, how much time you have to invest for that important business? Right? And another, the next point is, it is not at all difficult to preach Krishna consciousness. In this respect, often I recall one incident. Those days, Prabhupada's secretary was Shyamasundara Prabhu. And Shyamasundara Prabhu and his wife, Malati Mataji, used to travel with their little daughter, Saraswati. Saraswati was only about 5-6 years old. So Prabhupada was in Delhi. Some very important person came to see Srila Prabhupada. And while he was waiting for Srila Prabhupada, Saraswati was talking to him. And Saraswati asked him, "Do you know Krishna?" The man kind of jokingly replied, "No, I don't know Krishna." Saraswati said, "You don't know Krishna? Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God." So when Prabhupada heard that, Prabhupada said, "See, this is how simple it is to preach. Even a little child can preach to a minister. You don't know Krishna? Krishna is the Supreme Personality." So that is how easy it is to preach. But first of all, you have to recognize that Krishna is the Supreme Personality. First you recognize that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and go and tell everybody Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is preaching. We don't have to be a big scholar to become a preacher. We simply have to have implicit faith that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and we are His eternal servant. And becoming His servant is the ultimate goal of life. The question is, Hare Krishna Maharaj, please explain, Maharaj, what is the role of authority in service of Guru? Spiritual authority means Guru. Guru doesn't mean just, there are two types of Gurus. Diksha Guru and Shishya Guru. So those who give initiation, he is the initiating spiritual master, or Diksha Guru. And those who give instructions or guide you in your spiritual path, he is the Shiksha Guru. Or they are the Shiksha Gurus. So authority means, spiritual authority means your guide in your spiritual path. They are your Shiksha Gurus. So both Diksha Gurus and Shiksha Gurus are guiding me in this field. So that is their role. There is no special role as such. It's not that the Guru is going to perform some miracle and take you back to God. Guru will simply show you, both Shiksha Guru and Diksha Guru will instruct you, show you how to become qualified to go back. But you have to perform, you have to practice. They can teach you, they can tell you, do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. But you have to perform. Yes, another question was here. Yeah.
Whenever we hear Bhagavatam like this, we read Bhagavad Gita, we are spiritual attitude. But once we go, then we are entangled with material self-gratification, material things. So, how to keep, how to sustain that spiritual?
Very good point. You see, the way to sustain the spiritual attitude or spiritual life is by remaining in the spiritual association of devotees. Because as you were saying, like when you go out, you get distracted, you get carried away. But if you remain in the association of devotees, then you won't get carried away. Therefore, make it a point to remain in the association of devotees. And if you go to a situation where the association of devotees is not available, rather the materialistic association, then as soon as that is over, come back to the association of devotees. Run back for your life. So that is how we have to actually maintain our spiritual life. And that's why Prabhupada created ISKCON. You can't say you can't get association of devotees. Association of devotees by Prabhupada's mercy is available everywhere. At least in Hyderabad. So just come back to the association of devotees. Hare Krishna. Yes. The question is that as one surrenders to Krishna according to Krishna reciprocal. But I am not able to surrender. So what to do? See, if I don't surrender, Krishna is obviously not reciprocal. Keep trying. Because you have to surrender. And I can see that you have surrendered. You surrender, you shaped up, you're putting the luck. You moved into the temple, you're chanting the holy name. So these are all the signs of surrender. You just surrender. Only thing is that probably you don't want to tell us how Krishna is reciprocating. That's what I'm asking. Tell me how Krishna is reciprocating. Don't keep it a secret. Are you feeling happy in Krishna consciousness? Very happy. So that's the reciprocation.